Hi, this is Michael Felgate, and we've had another massive week on Racing Pulse, taking an in-depth look at the Golden Slipper on Saturday and the William Reid Stakes to finish up night racing at the Valley on Friday night. In this special edition preview podcast, we'll look at those two Group 1 features, starting with the William Reid Stakes. Earlier in the week, I had the boss of Moonee Valley, Michael Browell, in the studio.
This is exclusive access into the heart of racing, the Racing Pulse Inner Sanctum.
And it is great to have in the Inner Sanctum Michael Browell, the boss of Moonee Valley, because Friday night's a big night. It is the finale of the night racing season, and it ends with a bang, the Group 1 William Reid Stakes. How are you, Michael?
Great to be here, Michael.
You're looking nice and refreshed.
Tanned, yeah. Just back from 10 days in the States, so... Had a fantastic time looking at some of the great new sporting stadiums down in Atlanta, and enjoyed being the guest of the PGA down at the Players Championship in Florida. So a great trip, and let's put it down as research.
Yes, absolutely. Now, infrastructure-wise, over there obviously looking because of the big new redevelopment at Moonee Valley. Did you learn anything? Is there anything that you'll implement in the new Moonee Valley building?
Yeah, we had an opportunity to head down to Atlanta. They've just done three major sporting stadiums. They've built a brand new baseball park, a $600 million investment, but with that they've got 700 apartments, retail and commercial, in a standalone precinct. So that's similar to what we're looking to do with the redevelopment out at the Valley. They've just spent $200 million on an upgrade to their basketball stadium, but they own significant land between it and Mercedes-Benz Stadium, so they're looking at apartment towers and retail and commercial as well. And the highlight, of course, was Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where they played the Super Bowl last month, an investment of $1.6 billion. And we were there on game day. The Atlanta United soccer team won the premiership in their second year last year, and they unfurled the flag, and 78,000 people there. The atmosphere was incredible. But to see how the facilities development has progressed across in America, that gives us an opportunity to bring some of that and implement that into the new grandstand we're planning at the Valley.
And is the timeline still on target for the start of the redevelopment and hopefully the finish of it?
Yeah, it is. So the challenge at the moment, of course, is a softening property market, but we're set to hit the button on the sales program for the townhouse product. We're just crossing the T's and dotting the I's there with a contract with the builder. We expect to be in market shortly on that. But the plan still is that the last race meeting at Moonee Valley will be the 2024 Cox Plate. We'll close down then for a period of 18 months and rebuild a new track and grandstand from there.
This weekend, a little bit closer to home, Friday night, the final night meeting of the season and the Group 1 now. Have you got the final field for the Group 1, the William Reid?
Hot off the press. So the Keogh Holmes William Reid Stakes, $500,000 Group 1 over 1,200. In alphabetical order, we've got 11 runners. Battle Hero, Champagne Cuddles, Dothraki, Alakazoom, Embrace Me, Foul Swoop, Shoals, Sprite, Sunlight, Voodoo Lad, and Written By. So a very competitive field there. I'd expect Sunlight's going to come up a pretty short favourite there after her fantastic win in the Newmarket Handicap a couple of weeks ago.
You must be very happy with the night series once again. It seems to get stronger and stronger each and every year.
It's been a fantastic season. So 17 meetings in the night racing season for the Valley this year. Of course, we kick off on grand final eve with the big Group 1 Moya over the 1,000 metres there, and Vedora notched up another Group 1 sprint win at the Valley with that. Really keen to see how she steps out in Dubai Saturday week. I think she'd be a big chance in that race. And, of course, we came through then for the Mankato Stakes, so we had almost 14,000 people there as part of a record two-day Cox Plate Carnival attendance of more than 51,000, and Brave Smash won a very competitive Mankato Stakes. And, of course, the third of the Group 1s is this Friday night, but it's been a fantastic season. Attendance has been strong, wagering up more than 16%. Really happy with how it's developing.
It's developed a bit of a cult following too. The Friday nights, no football on, and I've got no doubt the best coverage at racing.com do of any race meeting, whether it's even the Saturdays, is the Friday night, from the talent they've got on camera to the fun that they have and getting the information across. And I think that's what people, it resonates so well with.
Oh, it's grown an audience for sure. And the team at racing.com, led by Jason Richardson, have done a fantastic job in bringing that to life and having that dedicated four-hour telecast where there's no interruptions, and they can, it's the narrative, it's the personalities that they can showcase with that, and it has developed a cult following.
Just talking about the racing at the moment, I want to talk more about Moonee Valley as well, but Matty Stewart was just in here talking about the trainers and how we are getting some of them squeezed out, the Heath Connors situation. Have you, as a racing administrator, got any viewpoint on that? There's a working party that's going to be talking about this issue, but it's a very big issue, it's a very important issue, but it seems like it's a difficult one to try and find an answer to.
Yeah, I guess when you have 850 licensed trainers here in Victoria, it's going to be hard for them all to make a living. As we know, there's not a lot of money to be made out of training fees, and you see the distribution of prize money. It is heavily skewed towards those top five or top 10 trainers. So the conversation certainly needs to be had, but yeah, we've seen it evolve in recent times now to enable training partnerships. There's obviously an opportunity for those great horsemen there that are struggling to make it on their own to team up with another trainer. And yeah, it might be a case of 1 + 1 = 3. If they can combine their skills and complement each other, they can build a solid business. But sustainability is a concern there. You see it in the jockey ranks as well, heavily skewed towards the best jockeys making the lion's share of the money with that. I just heard Matt talking about a potential second circuit, if you like. I'm not sure that that's the right solution. You don't want restraints on trade with that. At the end of the day, trainers are training for owners.
That's it.
Yeah, you've got to make sure that owners have the best opportunity to make a return on the significant investment they put into the sport. And I wouldn't want to see a situation where you've got a defined two-tier system. Saying that, it does work in Japan, where you've got the JRA and the NRA, but it's a very different model where I think the maximum number of boxes of trainers allocated is 60. The maximum number of horses they'd have on a 60-box licence would be 100. So it's one that we need to consider carefully, but I'm not sure that trying to pull the good trainers or the most successful trainers back to the field is the right solution.
Yeah, it's one that there's going to be a lot of discussion, a lot of debate on, and the one thing that does keep coming back, and it's a very hard thing for those involved because it's their passion, it's their love, their livelihood, that there probably are too many trainers and that the pie does not feed everyone.
Yeah, I grew up in a training family, and yeah, my father worked full time, and he trained a small team as a hobby. I had an uncle that was a full time trainer, very successful through the Northern District, and he had a couple of star horses when I was growing up. But it's one that it's no different now than what it was 50 years ago. And when you've got 850 trainers, it's hard to cut the pie so that everybody gets a fair share.
You were away for the inaugural running of the All-Star Mile. You're a shareholder in this great race. It'll be run at Moonee Valley in a couple of years' time. Where did you watch it?
In a hotel room in Florida at 2 a.m. in the morning. So tuned into that, and it was the right result, I think. And congratulations to Adam Trinder and the team there behind Mystic Journey. Of course, we saw her at the Valley on Cox Plate Day last year with a great win. The potential in her is enormous, and to get that big win under her belt on the back of her Australian Guineas win sets it up for what should be a great spring for her. But to see her sit three wide and then power away from some very good horses, yeah, she's a star in the making.
Oh, absolutely. What was your overall, view once it was all said and done on the concept itself and how it was put together and performed?
I think if you have a look at it first year in, if you were to mark the card, you'd say it's a great success. It was delivered quickly. I think it was signed off in November from memory, and all credit to Racing Victoria and the VRC to work collaboratively to bring it to life in a very short space of time. So I think we can sit down over the next few weeks and do a review of the concept. I'm sure that there's some opportunities to tweak it so that we can continue to improve it. But I like in the concept that it'll be split across the three tracks, and you saw how Flemington delivered it on Saturday. Look forward to seeing how Caulfield want to bring it to life next year, and then we can do something different with it under lights at the Valley in March 2021.
And that date will be the same date for all clubs on the Saturday that's just gone?
Yeah, or we'll do it on the Friday.
On the Friday, sorry.
Yeah. So it'll be that mid-weekend there, or the weekend after the long weekend. So for us, we'd incorporate it into the race meeting we had last week with the Alistair Clark Stakes.
Yes, okay. And the tweaks, there's been a lot of talk about tweaking the wild card, the voting, whether it's prize money or the rating. I'd imagine as a shareholder that you would sit down and be involved in conversations about next year's parameters?
Yeah, of course. And whether or not we need to look at the the baseline benchmark, whether 70 is high enough, whether it needs to go to 80 or even higher. I'm not sure that one of the measures of success on this needs to be how many nominations we get. We had 130 nominations, I think, in the end with that. So you'd like to keep it to, you know, 50. I'd like to keep it to 50 genuine horses, and whether you had a two-tiered voting model where you culled it down to, say, the top 25 or the top 30, and yeah, then the voters had a second chance to do it. But let's sit down and have the conversation. I think when you look at the wagering numbers that came through, the punters certainly embraced it. It didn't matter that there was three or four horses that were 200-1. To see $65-odd million across the whole meeting is a fantastic result for the industry.
Well, it was a staggering increase, up 51.6% higher than the corresponding Blamey Stakes meeting last year, which, of course, there were a lot smaller fields last year, but that is probably, once again, contributed to by the fact that you put the new race and the race day on around that.
Yeah.
So a 50% increase in turnover year on year is quite staggering.
Yeah,
really.
I wouldn't necessarily just focus on that 50% increase and do the comparisons with the Blamey Stakes meeting last year. I think what you need to do is look at the other two feature autumn meetings we have here in Victoria, Blue Diamond Stakes Day at Caulfield and Super Saturday at Flemington, and they're all around that mid-60s in wagering turnover. And across those other two meetings, you've got the multiple Group 1 races. Of course, the All-Star Mole doesn't carry any black type at this stage, but I think to achieve $65 million is a fantastic first-off achievement.
Attendances released yesterday also said that throughout the Festival of Racing, they were up 25%. The attendance for All-Star Mole Day was, I think it was just under 17,000 or just over 16,000. Are you happy with that, or do you think we should be getting more than that to the track?
Oh, you'd like to break through the 20,000 mark, and there was certainly enough marketing behind it to generate a higher attendance than that. But it's hard to launch these events first year in. I don't think there was massive ticket giveaways to build that or seed that crowd, if you like. And also two Grand Prix weekend in Melbourne, there's plenty happening. So we probably need to take that into consideration, that the sports fan gets spread thin and wide on a day like that.
You mentioned Mystic Journey. She could be at Moonee Valley come October as well. Adam Trinder has already said that is the race we want to focus on, the Cox Plate. Unfortunately, we won't get to see the Mighty Mare Winx, even though I've got no doubt she could go back and make a five in a row. But it is a new dawn, a new era, and will that almost be a new regeneration of excitement for this year's Cox Plate?
Yeah, of course. It'll be the 99th running of the Cox Plate, and every year there's a great story. We've absolutely loved the last 4 years with Winx and what that's delivered. It's been an incredible time to be associated with the race and the club, and you know, even the broader benefit across the racing industry. So looking forward to seeing Winx this Saturday, and then I'm sure there'll be a big Victorian contingent heading up to Sydney on Queen Elizabeth Stakes Day for what should be her farewell. But until they come out and say 100% she's retiring there.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
If there's a chance. when I see Debbie and Peter and Chris up there on Queen Elizabeth Stakes Day, I'll just plant that seed. And you never make a decision on race day, but I think if they will retire her, the announcement would come after this Saturday.
They'd want the build-up.
They'd want the build-up. So I'm sure the ATC will put on a spectacular show, whether it is her last run or not. And you'd expect that Randwick should be chock-a-block full for what would be a very special occasion.
There's no doubt about that. Have you started to make calls, though, to connections of horses who could be potential Cox Plate runners? Have you spoken to Bob Peters about Acadia Queen and got his intentions?
Conversations are ongoing. Bob, of course, made the statement after her great campaign that because of the Regimate issue that his preference would be not to come to Victoria. We'd like to think we can get that resolved. I think he said that he'd be focusing her campaign towards a Golden Eagle in Sydney instead. But we'll go through now, as we get through the Autumn Carnival, and the dialogue will continue with all these key domestic but also the international horses. The key international meetings are kicking off. We saw the Hong Kong Derby last weekend. We've got Dubai next Saturday. As that progresses, as we start to construct what should be a high-calibre field for the 2019 Ladbrokes Cox Plate.
Just on the Golden Eagle, has that been a source of frustration for yourself a week after a $7 million race focused on the four-year-olds?
It is what it is. And you know, I think the challenge they have up in Sydney is to extend their carnival out for another month or so. it's interesting that they've elected to put the big money behind these new races, and one of the key races in Sydney, like the Epsom Handicap, doesn't seem to get the prize money it deserves. So I'd be keen to see how they can spread their investment, particularly across marketing, to try and attract a crowd through a prolonged period. Let's see if it's successful. We'll just focus on what we need to do to make sure we put on a spectacular Cox Plate Carnival.
Have we worked out how these huge prize money races are being funded in New South Wales?
Oh, it comes out of the coffers of head office, I think. So there was talk, I think, when they announced it back in December, that there was a new funding stream coming through. I don't know if that was a new bet type. I haven't heard any more on that. But, I think all PRAs have had the benefit of the increase in wagering and joint venture revenues and race field fees. Yeah, we've got different approaches on how we spread that across the industry with prize money. And Racing New South Wales is elected to put on a mega race with the Everest. Now, half of that's funded, of course, through slot holders, but half of it's funded through the industry, and then, of course, a $7 million Golden Eagle race. So it's up to them to work out how they allocate their prize money.
We've got the final field, which you've announced, and the barriers have just come through onto my desk for the William Reid Stakes. So the order of the race and barriers... We're just missing number one here. We might try and get that back, but I've got number two, Voodoo Lad, barrier seven. Number three, Dothraki, number four. Barrier four, I should say. Number four, Battle Hero, barrier two. Number five, Shoals is in barrier five. Champagne Cuddles, 10. Sprite, 6. Elikazoom, 1. Written by 8. Sunlight, 11. And Embrace Me, barrier number three. Now, if I missed one out there, the press release I've got here just starts from 2 to 11.
Which ones I was trying
Voodoo
to...
Voodoo Lad, Dothraki, Battle Hero, Shoals, Champagne Cuddles, Sprite, Elikazoom, written by Sunlight, Embrace Me.
Did you say Sprite there?
Yes. Sprite's in there, barrier 6. All right, well...
We'll work that out.
But anyway, that's a little confusing. But they are the barriers. Sunlight has drawn the Extreme Outside, barrier 11. Shoals has drawn 5. So...
I think they'll be disappointed with that with Sunlight, because she drew in the Manukato.
That's right.
And got caught on the rail.
It'll be interesting, though. So that will be a very tactical race on Friday night. After the last night meeting, do we go into refurb mode at Moonee Valley in the build-up?
Number one, just on that, Fell Swoop, did you have him?
No, Fell Swoop's the one, barrier 9.
Fell Swoop, barrier 9.
There we go.
So field of 11. We've got an extended break this year. We have a hiatus after we get past Friday night, and we don't return to racing until early August. So we're undertaking a significant refurbishment of the track to bring it up to a standard which will get us through until the redevelopment. We've done renovations we do it every second year and try and get back in June, and it's always a bit of a challenge to have the track at its best for those winter meetings. So we've made the call to have an extended break, give the track every chance to come back and be in fantastic condition as we kick off the new season in August.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a massive build-up to the 99th running of the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. And get in early. That's the story, isn't it? Because you can book now for the Cox Plate.
We're on sale next month, so we're just finalising all the packages at the moment, and we look forward to launching that. We do that late April. Members, of course, have priority, and then we open it up to the general public. But we've had two sellouts with the Cox Plate the last 2 years on the back of Winx, and keen to make sure that we can carry that momentum through as we celebrate the 99th Cox Plate this year, and then look forward to a massive build-up to Cox Plate 100 in October 2020.
And Friday night, you'll have the footy on the big screens. Get out there to Moonee Valley. If you haven't been out to the night meetings, it is fabulous fun. The weather's holding up really well this week as well. So for those who want to get trackside, other than the hot action on the track, what else is there?
Yeah, certainly come out, although you don't feel it today with the weather out there. 30 degrees, I think they're tipping for tomorrow. That'll blend into a beautiful night at the Valley. Plenty of entertainment on course. We've got the music, food trucks coming through. Being the last race meeting for the season, there'll be an opportunity to walk the famous Moonee Valley straight after the last race. We'll have giveaways from the barriers there that'll go down the home straight after the last race. And, of course, it's the final heat of the Ladbrokes 55-second challenge. So a young trainer, Logan McGill, He's got a nervous wait to see if his time of 54.77 holds up with Written Choice. So it'll be fantastic for Logan kicking off his training career if he can be banking a $55,000 check come Monday morning.
Let's now hear from some of the key players who'll be hoping to win the Group 1 at the Valley, the William Reid Stakes. Graham Begg's got Written By, looking to regain form in the Group 1 feature.
You'll be cheering harder tonight, or tomorrow night, I should say, if Written By can poke his head out in the William Reid. How's he going?
Yeah, no, we're very happy with him, Michael. He's had a trial at Cranbourne a couple of weeks ago, and then he subsequently after that went over to Moonee Valley and had a gallop. So now he's on song, and couldn't be any more happier with him.
Is he going better than what his form suggests this time in, do you think?
Well, I feel so. You know, he's got big 2.5 lengths in the Lightning, so they've all written him off on that. So, you know, the way that was run, it was a bit passing on the first 400 metres and it sort of really didn't suit him. He's got to be let roll along in his races and that'll be the plan tomorrow night.
From barrier number 8, you'll just put the foot down and see if they can catch you. Is that the plan?
Well, we'll be rolling across anyway. We'll be letting him, give him his head anyway, you know, let him get in a good rhythm and we'll see what happens.
It might actually be yourself and Sunlight who come across the front and the best 2-3-year-olds might be fighting it out. Is that how you see it?
Well, you never know. Oh, look, there'll be pressure on the inside. Battle Hero rolls forward in his races sometimes, you know. He's got the ability to be able to do that. And Fell Swoop rolls forward, you know. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. The first sort of 300 or 400 metres will be interesting.
Do you think the step up the 1200 is going to suit him?
I think so. I definitely think he'll be much better suited at the 1200. So, yeah, it'll allow him to get into a good rhythm. And as I said, he likes to be let roll along in his races, so no holding him back.
You only want to take it one race at a time, but if he bounces back and either wins or is very close up, what are you planning in the future after the William Reid?
Well, let tomorrow night determine which direction we take. He's obviously headed to Sydney, but we're going to be very mindful of weather up there because we felt that last year when he went up to Sydney and ran in the slipper that he wasn't that well advantaged being on the softer ground. So that'll have a big bearing as well, what we do.
Good luck over the weekend, Graham.
Cheers for that.
It could be a big weekend for Luke Curry, who's riding Liar in the Golden Slipper, and on Friday night he's on the short price favourite, Sunlight.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's nice to have a ride in one good race, let alone a couple.
And no doubt you're pretty happy to get back on Sunlight. I'd imagine it must be tough watching a horse you've had such a close association win a big race like the Newmarket, but unfortunately, when she's got 50, 50 and a half, there's nothing you can do about it.
No, there's not much you can do. I suppose it is a bit tough watching. It's probably worse when you've been sacked off them. It's nothing I could do about that one, so I was still happy to see her win. Obviously, I'd like to see her. She really hit form second up, and happy for the connections and Tony in the stable. So, it's just a shame that I'm too fat to ride
it. You took her to the Valley on Monday. What type of field did she give you around the Valley circuit?
Yeah, good. She's been there before. She didn't have any luck when she was there last time, so she's galloped there before then, and she was no worries getting around there.
Well, you weren't on that night either when it was an absolute nightmare in the Manicato, but she looks like she's going even better this time in. We've lost Shoals, the main danger now, through unfortunate circumstances. I think she's got a bit of a bruised hoof, which means that you're now on an odds-on favourite. You've still drawn the outside, though, so what are you thinking pre-race, read the barrier?
I'm not sure. I'll have to wait and see. I haven't spoken to Tony yet, but see how it plays out through the night. She's obviously got plenty of speed, but I suppose the one thing out there, she's not going to be held up like she was last time she was at the Valley. But, she's probably got the speed to keep going forward and be right there, or if we felt we could probably take a sit off that speed.
How do you think she's better placed when you've ridden her, leading or just with a little sit?
I don't think it's mattered. I think either way, depends on the tempo of the race. She's been adaptable enough. She's got a high cruising speed, so if the opportunity is there, she races right on speed, and if she creates that speed, then she can run at her own tempo. But if they go hard enough, she can sit off it like she did in Sydney when she won. She sat off Esther Jarb when it went really, really quick, and she sat off a leader in the Magic Millions when she won that. So she's adaptable.
Who's your main danger, or is it just bad luck tonight?
I suppose Written By in form You know, she's only just beaten it a couple of times, so him in form was probably probably the main danger. And you know, I seen him work there a week ago. I worked one with him, and I think he's going well enough. And yeah, so he probably jumps and puts himself right there and makes his own luck.
Got a nice book of rides around Sunlight tonight. My Anne, we spoke to Tony McAvoy. Gee, it was impressive on debut, and he's got a big rap for this horse.
Yeah, it was very impressive. A bit of a step up, I suppose, but looks a likely type to be able to take the next step.
Before we look at the Golden Slipper, let's get the latest market on the William Reid Stakes from the Tabs, Nick Quinn.
Thanks very much, Michael. It's going to be a magnificent night out at Moonee Valley, the feature race 7 on the card, the William Reid Stakes, and Sunlight looking to get the job done for favourite backers. She dominates the market at $1.75. There has been support for Sprite. She's firmed from 14 into 7 to be the second elect at that quote. And we have Written by 7.50, Fell Swoop at 9.50, Voodoo Lad 12, Embrace Me, Best the Rest there at 15. The best back runner on the card comes up in the lucky last. Punters looking to end the night with a bang in the Sunline Stakes, where Spanish Reef looking to go back-to-back in the race. She was a $3.50 chance on Monday. She was $2.70 when Final Field was posted on Wednesday. And she's now an odds-on quote of $1.90. So hopefully Spanish Reef can end the night with a bang and Sunlight can take out the William Reid Stakes.
Golden Slipper Day is one of the best days racing. 5 Group 1s, the Mighty Winx will be in action and the Autumn Sun. But it's the richest 2-year-old race in the world. We're focusing on the Golden Slipper. Earlier in the week, I had 2 of the best form analysts in Australia looking at the final field before the barriers, David Gately and Ron Duffersey. Time now to have a look at the huge Golden Slipper meeting on Saturday. 5 Group 1s, the final field for the Golden Slipper has just come across my desk, and I'll read that out in a moment, and we're going to get 2 of the smartest men to talk about it and dissect it. I speak of David Gately and also Ron Duffersey, but there's no better way to kick off your Sky Racing career than finding the winner of the Golden Slipper, which is what you two gents are going to have to try and do today. And gee whiz, it looks like one of the most open editions we have ever seen. The final field has just been confirmed, a field of 16 with 2 emergencies. Yes, 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 Microphone, Time to Rain, Free of Debt, Cosmic Force, Dubious Liar, Lank and Star, Tenley, Pinsec, Anaheed, Kiamachi, Catch Me, Vincere Valer, Exhilarates, Loving Gabby, squeezing into the field, Bivouac, first emergency, Rome, the second emergency. Now, I do note that there were vet inspections yesterday, and Lankin Star was found to be slightly restricted in its action in the front and will also undergo another stable vet inspection as well. But, Ron, firstly to you, overall, is this one of the most open slippers you can remember?
Oh, look, no doubt at all, Michael. It's the depth in the race. I think we've got 6 colts there and 10 fillies, and just considering the weather the last week or so, it's just thrown it wide open. You know, the recent runs could well be gold, where we weren't considering the week before form. It seems to be a rush to get into the race. But now, with these little scattered showers around, we could be working with a heavy 10, and they'll come into play.
Gator, do you think a potential heavy track makes it easier to try and find the winner or tougher?
Probably the latter, unless you're in the corner of Cosmic Force, who just went to a whole new level, didn't he, on significantly rain-affected ground on Saturday. A quick turnaround for a young athlete on that sort of ground is probably some little query, but it was not like it was an extremely hard win. He looked pretty soft all the way to the line. And look, I'm with Duff there. He wasn't on my radar 7 days ago, and all of a sudden he's now given. We're likely to have some significantly rain-affected track there.
Well, we won't go through them all runner by runner, but we will talk about the major players. And number one is Yes, Yes, Yes. Gee, he was simply stunning last start. He only recently joined the Chris Wallace stable. And, Gator, we've been talking about this galloper for a while, and in the end, it may have been a blessing in disguise that he didn't make it to the Magic Millions. How impressed were you with his last start win, and does he deserve to be favourite in your mind?
Look, I think he deserves to be on the podium. The win was exceptional. They went back to last. I think straight away, I'm watching the race live and I'm thinking, all right, this is not their grand final. But he just moved into the race beautifully. He's 33.3 last 600, then 11.32. So he was about 6.7 lengths above average his last 600. Overall time, 6.5 lengths. On the day, race rated extremely similarly to Tenley, who has been brilliant in her recent wins. And when they're so strong the last 100, which she's been In her last two runs, it's difficult to ignore. And again, the time, she was 7 lengths above average in her win, and home 11:16, so the quickest of any two-year-old that day. So lining those two up, look, I'm thinking that's the A form, but when I, you know, A-plus form, say, and lining those two up, yes, probably has more scope, but Tenley's win was brilliant as well.
What are your thoughts on those two, Duff? Because they were outstanding performances that day.
Yeah, very similar. Although the filly run better figures, I think that Yes, sets up better. That was his first run for the year. Mm. He'd had a trial on a soft seven, I think it was Feb 25, and then he went to that race. And what I liked about the win, when he's back last there, minding his own business, you think, oh, he's got work to do. But within four strides, you knew he was going to win that race. So there's something about this horse, and I know there's only improvement to come, and I'd be very hot on him as far as if the track was not bottomless, put it that way, because that's the uncertainty of racing.
What about his racing style? He tends to get back. Is that on a wet track going to be less of an issue, do you think?
Yeah, look, I think he was dragged. He could have been close the other day. He was Chris Waller wide draws negative. Chris Waller inside draws positive is usually the theory. So where he positions in the run will all depend on his draw. So I would suggest a horse like him, the draw is important.
Microphone's another horse that we've seen down here in Melbourne, and he went to another level last start when he went back to Sydney. James Cummings, incredible. Six runners in the race, including the first emergency, and ironically, he may not even have the best horse, Tassort, the two-year-old that he's got there. And this horse seems to have just improved out of sight, Duff. What's your rating on Microphone?
Well, he won me the other day when he beat Cosmic Force in the Skyline. Calcavecchio was a big rap on that horse going into that race as well. And the masterstroke here may be not paying up with Microphone for the Blue Diamond. They've probably identified him as a slipper horse after that, and it could all come to fruition. Another horse, no soft form, but there's no holes in his form, really, I wouldn't think.
Gator, you concur?
Yeah, absolutely. He's strung a couple of extremely high-rating wins together. Obviously, the Flemington one, OK, it was in the fast lane, but it was a sizzling gallop, a 1-2 and change, and then heads to Sydney, runs about. He ran out, but won well, beat Cosmic Force, you see him win like Farlap. Race rated significantly better than Anaheed on the day. Anaheed won the Sweet Embrace, then went to the Riesling and was wide, albeit, but safely held by Tenley. So it's easy to make a very strong winning case for a Microphone, no doubt.
We have a bit of fun over the borders, as you know, Duff, about SF and MF, the Sydney form v Melbourne form. Which do you think strongest heading into this slipper?
I don't know. I'm saying it's 50-50. This, I think the MF form is very, very likeable. Put it that way. If we're going to call
was that hard to say?
Yes, it was very hard to spit out, I must say. But what are we talking about? We're talking a Microphone, Melbourne form. He was educated in Sydney, and yes, is now a Sydney sider. But anyway, we're clutching at straws.
Well, what about Liar then? That Blue Diamond form that we're talking about. How do you rate that, Duff?
It's got to be rated. I love the trial. I thought out of the four Golden Slipper horses that trialled last week here, she was the one that captured my attention. She seemed to get on the right leg, and when he did sneeze on her the last 100 metres, I loved the way she run through the line. So I think that although it's very hard to do as far as the Blue Diamond wet track 3 weeks between runs now, and although she has had the trial, Anthony wouldn't bring her unless he was happy with her. So I think she's somewhere in the mix, but I would have liked to 2 weeks before, considering the circumstances we've got here, with a run 2 weeks before.
Where do you rate her, Duff? And a horse like Loving Gabby, who was arguably unlucky and could even have more upside than a horse like Liar, but we haven't seen her since.
Yeah, that's strange, isn't it? I would have thought Loving Gabby had a trial here the other day, and I would have rather have seen her trial over the 1,050 like Liar did rather than the 750 metres, but give her the run that Liar had in the Blue Diamond, it could have been a different result. So I think she's outstanding. Whether it's all too soon for a filly like her, I'm not sure, but it just smells to me like a little bit of a setback since the Blue Diamond.
Mm. What do you think, Gator?
Look, I think she's the one with the most upside as it stands, and that puts her right in the race. I mean, because we won't know her ceiling until after the event, you know, and then all the ratings people tell you how great it was, but we've missed the $13. I think she's top five for me. I really liked the trial. It was in quick time, seemed to get through the ground, and just that the fact that she's still so raw, I mean, she could find easily those two lengths she needs off the diamond. And as you say, arguably, you know, swap the runs and she's the one that's, you know, with the ribbon around her neck at the end of that race. And the race rated well this year, the Blue Diamond, so that's noteworthy also.
We just spoke to Chris B. Could there be a fairy tale blowout? It's $34 free of debt, and he was big in the Blue Diamond.
He was the best on pacer in a run-ons race. They were quick, early, first 600 set up for the run-ons. And he was there swinging at the end, and the first mail home out of all those fillies who were really rating significantly higher than the boys leading into that race. So if he improves again like he did into this, then he's well over the odds.
Another one I think's over the odds, Duff, was Pinset. Currently $26. It was enormous in the Black Opal.
To the eyes, she was enormous. They did put it on for her. A couple of those leaders got at each other a little bit early. She had a perfect sit. Another one of the dangers in the race, got a stumbled at the start there, so every possible thing went right for her. I don't think the figures were strong as far as the day was concerned, but I'm not going to sit back here and bag a horse that's two from two, but I just think she has to improve.
What do you think, Gator, on Pinsec?
Yeah, look, I needed to see a little more merit on the clock. I loved what I saw to the eye, zoomed the last 100, which we love seeing, and how often those horses progress. You know, it's probably 99 out of 100. However, yeah, just wanted to see a little bit more substance on the clock to have that horse top five.
What do we think about Time to Rain, especially on a wet track? It's out to $15 now.
He's had a busy schedule, hasn't he? And he's got touches of brilliance there. You would have thought after the Silver Slipper, wow, here's your winner. He is off seven. And then he went to the Todman and yes, just made him look second rate there. So I don't know what to think of him.
I think the wet might help. You know, obviously it was a dry track last time. He was below his best. But it wasn't a sepoy defeat. It was a more significant defeat than that.
He's gone better when there's a lot of pressure on. Maybe they'll ride him more aggressively.
Speaking of wet track performances, we haven't seen a better one than Cosmic Force. Do you think, Duff, he could start favourite on Saturday?
All depends if we do get another. Yeah. You know, this track's between, I'd say, a 6 and a 10. So if we're 8, 9 or 10, there's a big chance he'll run favourite.
And the performance on Saturday, on a heavy 10, how difficult is it for a two-year-old to back up 7 days and do that again?
Well, they're all individuals. And he looks a tough nut, and he's pulled up. He's beautiful in the wind, just looking at him coming back there. So I don't know. So, you know, we don't know because there's no evidence on the board about him backing up in the past, especially off a tough run. But I'm a great fan. I know some horses can feel the effects, but I'm a great fan on very heavy tracks that backups are gold.
What do you think, Gator? I know it was a heavy 10, but how did that performance rate on Saturday?
Extremely highly. I know the track was on the improve. It was still a heavy 10 at race 4. But there was a strong speed, set 3 wide on it. They were 2 lengths above average early. The overall figure's about 8 lengths above average. So went a couple of lengths better than Kiyomichi, who ran, admittedly, you know, 40 minutes earlier on that improving track. So, look, I've said a million times, relative times on wet tracks can be very treacherous. But on the figures and the style of the win and the margin, you would be foolish to say he couldn't win the race, especially if the track has some give. And I think Duff's point's perfect. You know, often we fall into these set rules. Every single athlete is different, and that's the same for humans and horses and I'd imagine any species. But we just don't have a precedent on this horse yet, so he has to go in.
The other one that's in the market, and it's probably been a little bit forgotten since its last start, where we may have expected a little bit more, as the Magic Millions winner Exhilarates. Where do you rate her, Duff?
I don't know. I was thinking the Magic Millions form was no good, and then I was thinking the Blue Diamond form was no good. There's a rough hope the Sydney form's no good. So I don't know what to think. I will say Dubious is one of these horses that I don't know whether he was going to be good enough, but he is tough enough. He's one of the toughest horses I've seen as far as this two-year-old bunch is concerned. I don't see any gear change there with Blinkers, which he carried in the trial, but they've still got a little time to work, the 24 hours to put them on him. He's, if there's a sleeper in the race, I think it could be dubious.
Mm, currently a $17 pop. How do you rate Exhilarates in that Magic Millions form, Gator?
Oh, look, coming out of the race and the Magic Millions, I wasn't saying here's a couple of slipper, here's the slipper trifecta or anything, but they've since run well, haven't they? Exhilarates had the gap between runs into the Riesling. That Tenley was too good for her late. But as just stated, she had the gap between and probably had more upside. On the line, she was quite strong. Her figures home were very good also. 33.8, 11.5. Overall time was very fast. So if you're giving Tenley a chance, she must have a case. Dubious was sound behind Yes, Yes, Yes. I'd say, look, I'd assume that Yes, Yes, Yes beats that horse home again, though, off the Todman runs.
Darren Flindell's going to have his work cut out for him because they've got off an arm. He's got six in the field, maybe seven with Bivouac, the first emergency. Of James Cummings' five runners that are currently in the field, rate your top two or three, Gator.
So Tenley, narrowly from microphone, I would say I think Bivouac is some hope-ridden colder if they get in at a big price. But they're my top two from that stable, mate.
How would you go with the Godolphin and James Cummings runners?
Exactly the same. I think the best colt's microphone, the best filly's Tenley. It'll all come down to pressure, pattern of the day, and where they draw.
Well, there's no barrier draw, so I'm not going to put you on the spot. But I'll say, give us three or four that you're pretty keen on at this point in time, halfway through the week, knowing that track conditions can change and the barriers haven't been drawn. Duff, you can kick us off.
Yeah, look, in saying it's one of the widest slippers I've started, looked at in a long, long time, I'm still with the market. I'm sort of Yes, 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 microphone Tenley, and obviously Cosmic Force. So I'm all over the marketplace there. In saying that, it is a wide race. You could go down the page and make a case, as we have this morning, the 10 or 12 horses.
Have we left any out that we should have mentioned?
Oh, we have, but, how long's a piece of string?
Mm. What about you, Gator?
Look, as it stands today, if you gave me a deadline of 1 minute, which it seems like you have, I'd go Tenley, Yes, 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 microphone, and Loving Gabby, given her upside. Asterix on that, barrier draw, heavy track, I'd include Cosmic Force, absolutely. But I think that's about where I'm thinking. It's my radar, yep.
And just as a generality, before the barrier draw, would you prefer to draw in or out, Gator?
Well, obviously, the selections need to be made well and truly before the race. I would be surprised if they weren't, edging off the inside. But, Duff's point about history is a brilliant one. When there's not a lot between a lot of athletes, who's going to save a bit of ground and get the right run could well be the difference in a game of inches. So, short answer, depends on the horse. But I'd probably prefer to draw off the inside, but still a single figures. How's that?
It's going to be one of the best race days we've seen. Duff, we've got the Golden Slipper, five group ones. We've also got the Mighty Mare Winks. We've got the Autumn Sun as well. How will Saturday rate for you as a racing fan, as well as someone who's going to be there working for Sky?
Oh, right up there. When you got Winks there, that's your starting point. Then you've got a Golden Slipper, and we haven't even mentioned a Jewel Everest winner there in Red Zell, who's going to be turning up as well. So a fantastic day's racing.
Have you got an early one from Saturday?
Not really. Look, there's dual nominations there. I could tip you something, and then comes when I do the form, I'd be tipping something to beat it. So stay tuned.
We will. We'll be watching you on Sky, and we'll also be watching David Gately on Sky with the announcement this morning that Gator is joining the Sky team. Gents, thanks for your time this morning. We'll look forward to the build-up to the Golden Slipper Day on Saturday.
Good luck, guys.
Been a pleasure.
And David, congratulations once again, David Gately. The big news this morning, which has just been broken, is that David Gately, after a lot of thought, is leaving racing.com and he is joining the team at Sky. It's a blow for .com, but it is a coup for Sky Racing. The good news is that David Gately will continue to be heard regularly here on RSN 927. And spare a thought for caller Darren Flindell, who's got to call the action, including six runners from Godolphin. The man behind the microphone, Darren Flindell, has a big day indeed, because as we've seen in Melbourne Cups in previous years with Lloyd Williams, this year's Golden Slipper, Godolphin, have seven runners in the race, or six at the moment, including the first emergency. And it could be a wet day, it could be a dreary day, it could be a heavy track, and that all means it's going to be a difficult call for Darren Flindell, who joins me this morning. How are you, Darren?
Yes, all good, Michael. I'm glad you're enjoying all of this.
Well, we don't want to put the pressure on. The weather, though, hopefully not looking too bad for Saturday, or what are you expecting?
It looks like we might be over the worst of it with the weather. There could be still more to come later in the week, but I don't think we'll be dealing with the track as heavy as it was a few years ago when She Will Reign was successful.
I'm going to name a colour. You tell me the horse. Yellow?
Kiyomichi.
Correct. Black?
Kinsek.
Correct. Red?
Kenley.
Purple?
Not available.
Oh, you're too good, you are. White? Who's got white?
Sorry, white, liar.
Liar. Pink?
Pink is Bivouac.
Green?
And green exhilarates.
And the blue one?
Microphone.
Well done. Well done. And we're a few days out as well. Now, I've spoken to Matty Hill about this as well, but your recall, how long would it take you to get that embedded in the brain?
Well, I'd like to think that that's already sort of locked away now. So I don't think it'll be a big issue on the day. But other factors can come up. I mean, I've also got to deal with the three Aquas runners as well.
Correct.
So that's going to be another distraction. And so we're talking about six Godolphin and then three. That's nine out of the 16. It can be concentration zapping as far as the other runners are concerned, but at least as far as the rest of the field is concerned, they've all got their unique colours with Yes, 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 Time to Rain and the Derby, Cosmic Force, the China Horse Club, the Haze Runner Lankan Star. So they're all individual colours that won't present a problem. So hopefully everything will be fine.
And just like what Matt Hill has to deal with on Melbourne Cup Day, you've got to worry about the undercard, which is one of the best undercards we have ever seen, with the likes of Winx, the Autumn Sun, five Group 1s as well. So you can't focus solely on just the one race.
Absolutely. It's one of those champagne days of racing when you finish with one Group 1 and you think, you beauty, now an even better race is about to come up.
Leave us with the winner of the slipper. It looks like one of the most open we've seen. Who do you like at this stage?
Well, I think it's only natural that the race caller must hit microphone, isn't it?
Very good.
Seriously, I do like it for the fact that with the gate that it's drawn, it should be in the best position of every runner in the race. And that's what I want to look for here. I think microphone can just sit leaders back and there's going to be plenty of options from there.
Yeah, you may well be right. Darren,
and a lot of the slipper winners in recent years on wet tracks have come right up the fence as well.
It's an interesting quirk, isn't it? Because a lot of people are trying to console themselves who have drawn wide that may be the place to be. But by that stage of the day when the slippers run, it can tend to head back to the fence.
Very much so. And, well, we've got to go with the historical patterns of the track on when it's been rain affected.
Team Snowden is looking for another Golden Slipper winner. They've got three runners, including the firming favourite, Cosmic Force. Snowden team have three runners in this year's Golden Slipper, including Cosmic Force. This time last week, it was a 50-1 shot. Now it's been backed into $4.40, a firm favourite for the slipper. Paul Snowden joins me. How are you, Paul?
Thanks, how are you?
Very well. Did you envisage a week ago that you'd have Cosmic Force as a $4.40 favourite for the slipper?
We envisaged a victory on the day. We weren't thinking he was going to win by as far as what he did, but he's obviously proven it in the going. It's looking boring down here at Ramwick at the moment, so I'm not sure what Rose Hill's getting, but it's just like set in for a little while. Whatever it does improve to on Saturday, the track rating, but you're going to be looking for horses that can handle sort of wet conditions on the day.
He was simply stunning last week. He absolutely loves the wet, as you say, but you know what it takes to win a slipper, and the most important thing is to have a horse that is continuing to improve, and that looks to be exactly what he's doing. I suppose backing up 7 days later after a win like that on a heavy track, has that been any concern, or has he bounced and improved out of that win once more?
No, look, it hasn't. He's quite a tough customer, and if anything, it's going to play into his hands. He looks better than what he did last week. He's just that much, a little bit more relaxed himself. He'll turn up there and he'll run extremely well on Saturday.
Was it always the plan to go through the Pago Pago? Because I think there's only been three winners from 31 attempts to back up and win a slipper.
Pretty much so. That's the type of horse he is. Like I say, if we happen to win, which we did, and the backup certainly not going to worry us at all. So more about the horse and how he's going to handle things, obviously, and to turn up on the day in the best possible shape he can. And hopefully, you know, come Saturday afternoon, we can say that we got it right.
Barrier 2 on paper looks very, very nice. Are you happy with that, considering we may well have a pretty wet track?
Better than 19. So you've got to say yes. Look, he's a horse that can settle up on speed. So even the first four or five, conditions will enhance his chances and take him a long way from winning there on Saturday, hopefully.
So you had two pretty impressive winners previously, two other colts in Seapoint Capitalist who were the dominant two-year-olds of their generation. What's your confidence levels like with this fella heading into a slipper compared to those two?
Well, that's the thing. They were dominant throughout the two-year-old year, both of them. So this year's a little bit different. There's a mixture of form coming from everywhere. We've got some Melbourne visitors, and obviously there hasn't been a dominant horse that sort of continued on throughout his whole preparation. I know we lost the sort his preparation, but he probably looked at benchmark horse, and we didn't get to quite see how good he'd come back. But right, it's an even sort of field, even a lot of two-year-olds, and okay, luck and running's going to play a major role, and obviously the conditions on the day, if you can cancel out those two things, it's going to take a long way to winning the race.
Well, what about your fillies in the race? Could they cause an upset? You've got Anaheed, who on debut revelled in a heavy track to win the victory vein easily. She wasn't disgraced in the Riesling behind Tenley last start. And you've got Catch Me, who was probably touted as your best two-year-old heading into the Blue Diamond, but the wheels fell off and she came back with a nice trial win. So how do you see their chances?
Yeah, Anaheed, she excels in where going. So, look, we're blessed this year to have two good chances in a track that's definitely going to be rain-affected to some degree, you know, in that either just heavy range or maybe a touch better. But, we're very lucky in that aspect of things. She seems to handle and like those conditions. And obviously, Catch Me, you're right, things didn't go the way we wanted to, but we used that trial last Thursday. We need to know where we sit with her. And they didn't go hard. She was keen back in behind a slow tempo, but the last 600 of the trial was certainly very pleasing and through the line. So she had to do that. Is it just a warrant there in that racing centre?
Is there a clear margin in your mind, Cosmic Force, your number one seed?
Going on the margin on Saturday, you'd probably have to think so, but what it does do to Anaheed, it doesn't answer chances, and it wouldn't worry me who wins, but as long as I can win. But look, it's certainly blessed to have three nice chances. They're good horses coming right at the right time, and that's what you need.
Karen McAvoy knows what it takes to win a slipper. He's teaming up with Exhilarates, hoping to complete the Magic Millions slipper double.
What's the weather in Sydney like today, and what are you expecting the track to be tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm in the eastern suburbs, and sort of broken cloud here now. We had a bit of dash of rain overnight. I'm not 100% sure whether I had it at Rose Hill overnight, but I rode Rose Hill on Tuesday morning, and it was softer than last Saturday. It's obviously going to be, it's going to be damp track. It's going to be heavy, and I'm just hoping that I don't get too much more rain leading up into tomorrow's meeting. It's going to be wet enough without another 5 or 10 or 20 mils landing on it. So we'll wait and see what unfolds.
How do you think your filly Exhilarates, who was an impressive winner of the Magic Millions, will handle a genuinely wet track?
Yeah, well, the stable has said that she's been moving fine at home. On the damp conditions, so I didn't ride her on Tuesday morning, but you get some confidence that the stable are happy with her, and she had the little let up after the Magic Millions run. She had was about 2 months in between runs, and James had left a little bit in the tank to improve on. So it was a pass marking run when she ran second to Tenley, and if we can improve that a little bit more, which I'm sure she will fitness wise, then she's got to be a player. She drifted right out in the market, but she's a quality two-year-old filly in her own right, and I must admit it's a stellar lineup. He's got great winning form coming from every angle of the last 2 months, two-year-old races. So it's going to take a PB to win it, that's for sure. And one thing you do know is your race will give her best. She's shown that she's a pretty determined little filly, and we're going to find out where she stacks up tomorrow.
You rode Tenley at a first two starts. Did you have the choice between Tenley and Exhilarates last start and also in the slipper?
Well, it's a bit of a long story.
initially J-Mac was booked onto Sword, and so I sort of went into the Riesling thinking, OK, I'll ride Exhilarates in this, and then I spoke with James and said we sort of have the choice between the fillies, depending on how they ran, obviously with J-Mac being on the colt. So then to Sword went wrong, so I pulled the wrong rein there, and J-Mac went on Henley, and obviously he sticks aboard, so... it's just one of those things, and look, I've got a good filly of my own, right, and you know, it's probably every reason to think Tenley will be very hard to beat, but it's a case of my filly having that little bit of improvement on fitness, which gives me some confidence going into tomorrow's race.
Where do you think she's rated Exhilarates amongst the Godolphin army?
Look, it's hard to tell. You know, they've all been running at a high level, you know, Microphone and Pinsec was dominant down there, so you know, she might be second or third pick, or maybe even fourth pick. I haven't spoken to James at length about that, but you know, that's sort of neither here nor there with me. It's either I've just got to concentrate on trying to get the best out of my filly and trying to get the best run we can. We've obviously drawn out a little bit. It'll be really interesting to see how the track's racing, and you know, the wide draw, the track might just help offset that wide draw. Obviously, it's a hairpin bend, so you've got to try and cut the corner to some degree. So we'll just see. It's going to be interesting to keep a focus on how that track's racing.
Well, she ran over the top of them in the Magic Millions, so is that what you're expecting to be a similar style for her tomorrow?
All depends on tempo, Michael, yeah. You know, if the pressure's on, then we'll ride accordingly. The other day she jumped and raced a little bit gassy, a little bit keen, up behind the speed, and that probably didn't help her finishing effort either, so... It'd be nice to get a little drag along sort of midfield or somewhere tomorrow, and if she switches off really well, then she that helps with her finishing effort.
We also caught up with Sam Friedman earlier in the week, and he sounded very confident about the diamond winner, Liar, completing the double. No doubt the big feature in the highlight, though, was Liar in the Golden Slipper, the Blue Diamond winner. And just having a look at some statistics, three Blue Diamond winners in the Golden Slipper, it makes tough reading because... in the history of the Blue Diamond Golden Slipper, there have been 35 horses try and complete the double, and only five have managed to do it, including the Great Sepoy, Courts of Bounding Away, Manicato, and John's Hope. It's a tough task to complete the double.
Yeah, it is. And look, I guess, you know, she's a horse. She's not aware of history, so we're pretty confident with her. She's come through the Blue Diamond, couldn't have come through it in any better order, and she trialled up exceptionally last week, and her work yesterday on the course proper at Randwick was, you know, as good as I've seen from her. And look, we're really happy with her, and you know, it's obviously a whole different ball game on what will probably be a bottomless track at Rose Hill. But you know, we're really happy with her.
Is she going better than what she was before the diamond?
Going as good, if not a touch better. You know, she's just a filly that the more we've been racing her, she's been thriving, and she's really been a product of the system we have in place with Pinecliff and Flemington, and you know, she's relaxed nicely into stables up at Randwick, and you know, the weather's, you know, obviously touch and go, and that's a query with all of them, but look, her condition going into the race seems to be tip top.
What's your gut feel on a wet track?
Look, we think she'll handle it. She's confirmationally, she's a little bit back at the knee, and so look, she's trialled in what was probably a softer heavy last week. Luke Curry commented that he thought she loved it. She had galloped yesterday. She seemed to eat up the turf. So we think she'll handle it. It's obviously a different story under race conditions, but yeah, gut feeling she'll get through it.
Your family history in the Golden Slipper is a remarkable one, winning four in a row, Lee Freeman, and your father, Anthony, was pretty much the man behind the man who was in charge of the two-year-olds up in Sydney during that period. You were probably too young to remember it, but have you spoken to your dad about those years and the knack of having these two-year-olds on song on the big day?
Yeah, exactly. It's a rich history that the family's got with the race. And, you know, it helps, you know, Dad, you know, obviously sort of been there and done that, and, you know, he knows what sort of horse it takes to win the race and sort of programming to do so. And so, yeah, look, it's going to be an exciting day for the whole stable on Saturday. Just to have a runner in the race is an honour in itself. And to have a live chance, you know, hopefully we can have a really good outcome.
What does he say to you behind closed doors about how good he thinks Lyra is compared to some of those star two-year-olds he's had in the past?
Oh, look, he'd never compare her to, you know, almost like a Lingi or anything like that. He's always got a soft spot for them, so he's quite reserved with his opinion on it. But, look, she just keeps raising the bar, and she's done nothing wrong so far. So hopefully on Saturday she can etch her name into, you know, one of the best in Anthony's eyes.
It looks like one of the most open slippers we've seen in recent years. Can you get a handle on who you think is maybe the hardest to beat?
No, look, I think that Cosmic Force is pretty impressive on Saturday, and obviously got through what was a bottomless track, so that's a massive advantage for them. But there's a whole host of chances. Loving Gabby was obviously very good in the Blue Diamond, and if she gets through the ground, she'd be very competitive. It is very open, and any number of the Godolphin horses, you know, they've all been very impressive. So in terms of comparing to recent years, it seems like probably the most even we've had.
So let's get the latest odds now from Nick Quinn from the TAB.
The Golden Slipper, race 7 at Rose Hill, the world's richest two-year-old event, and TAB's chief media officer Trent Langscale reporting that Cosmic Force has been the best back runner since the barrier draw, $5 into $4.40. Now the outright favourite at that quote from a legion of the James Cummings runners, including Tenley at 6, Microphone at 7, Liar at 12, Pinsec at 16. Other runners in the market include Yes, 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 7.50 and Time to Rain at 13. The Golden Slipper looks very, very open indeed, but Cosmic Force has been the best back.
Thanks for tuning in to our comprehensive preview of the William Reid Stakes and Golden Slipper. To catch up with anything related to the big race, head to rsn.net.au and keep it locked at RSN for our race day preview from 10:30 a.m. with Matty Stewart. And I'll catch you Monday, 8:30 on Racing Pulse.